All right. Well, hello, everyone. Wherever you're watching around the world, we're so thankful you are here. I just left hair and makeup. They just said, Tyler, I'm not a magician. I did the best I could do. So we're so thankful that you are here today joining us wherever you're watching. Once again, we are continuing our series called Firm Foundation. So at the top, if you are just tuning in with us, or maybe you're listening to our podcast throughout the week, I just want to remind you of an awesome opportunity we have coming up this week called Hope Tour 2022. What we get to do is partner with Hope Rising Ministries, Wake Ministries. It's going to be incredible. Friday, June 17th, Saturday, June 18th, 6:30 here at the YMCA, and Sunday, June 19th, Father's Day morning. We'll be wrapping it up. So everyone who's here has a little invite card. I want to tell you, if you're watching online, you see this wonderful thing in my hand. I want to let you know, every night you come, we're going to be giving this to you. And here's a little thing I want to tell you. If you will send in a prayer request or a name of who you're inviting and they're there, we're going to enter your name more than once in the drawing. You get an extra name in the drawing. What do you think? Does that sound like a plan? Why? It's not about the drawing. It's about what we're talking about. And that's the promise of hope. And that's what we're going to continue to build upon today as we talk about the firm foundation that is Jesus. That's what we've been walking through in this series. And we're talking about how we can build our life on it. We started talking about what's holding us up and what we're holding on. We dove in a little bit on Memorial Day talking about faith and Romans 3. We're going to have a little bit of deep theology today as well as we continue on. And then last week we talked about being strong and courageous. But today, I feel this perfect opportunity to lead us into Father's Day, the perfect opportunity to lead us into Hope Tour, because we're going to talk about what many of us maybe are in the season of, maybe you're out of the season, but I want to tell you, if you're not in this season, get ready, because at some point, you're going to walk through this season. And what we're going to walk through today is when the walls fall down. When the walls fall down. Now, you could cue some great music when the walls fall down, right? Like, we could have all kinds of awesome opportunities that happen when we talk about when the walls fall down. But when the walls fall down, it's a negative connotation, right? It's something, when we say the walls fall down, it's almost like the wheels fall off, right? But sometimes we can be excited about that. I'll say I'm going to drive it till the wheels fall off. I'm just going to say, there may or may not have been a rap song that talks about that, but it's okay. It's okay. Nate Dogg was his name. You can look it up later. It is what it is. So if you talk about this and we walk through that, sometimes these words we go through, I want to say school is out here. We're going into the summer. It sometimes just feels like the walls are going to fall down. Like everything is just crashing around you. And we're going to see how our perspective can change through that, through something familiar you've probably heard before. You know I could do it all day long. What we're going to do today is we're going to spend some time in Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, if you've got your Bible. We were in Joshua 1 last week. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 6 today. If you don't have a Bible, we have them free for the asking over in our garden area. You can also follow along with us on the Vine Church app, thevine.tv/app. On there, you can share the name of who you're inviting. You can send in a prayer request, but also you can take notes on there, because believe it or not, this week there is some fill in the blanks for those who like to do that. So if you would like to go ahead and download that on our app today, you can follow along with us. If you're with me, give me an amen. I hear some amens. We're going to be thankful when the walls fall down. Some of them, I think, does John Cougar Mellencamp have a song that said it is? You're going to look it up later and y'all are going to know. When the walls, it's tumbling, something like that. All right, so when the walls fall down. So we're going to pick up with Joshua. We were there last week. Last week we were at Be Strong and Courageous. Be Strong and Courageous. They were about to go into the promised land, into God's promise. Now, we are picking up on the other side of the Jordan. There's something in me that says we're going to talk about the Jordan and Joshua in the Jordan River coming up really soon. So we are on the other side of the Jordan. So we're going to see Joshua's come across the other side of the Jordan with the Israelites. They're upon this city called Jericho. So they've come, they've walked across on dry land again, and now all of a sudden they're in God's promised land, and they're in a walled, fortified, they literally roll up on Fort Knox. And they're like, all right, Lord, like you promised us we were going to be able to take the promise, but like how am I going, I don't have an armored truck, it isn't here yet. I don't know any other way to get in there. So, Lord, what are we going to do? And that's where Joshua is. See, what happened is when they crossed the Jordan River, remember when they wandered in the desert, if you're familiar in church, they had this thing called manna come down. Well, when they crossed the Jordan River, there is no manna anymore. They have to take of the fruit of the land. So now their reliance on God is taking a step deeper into his promise. And now they're at this crossroads where it just feels like, what are we going to do as we go in this city? And maybe that's where you are right now. I mean, let's just be real. This season we've been in, pandemic, non-pandemic, inflation, gas prices, grocery store issues, wars, like maybe you're just in a season where it feels like the walls are falling down. You're just like, Lord, I'm just trying to do what you called me to do. I'm just trying to take a next step in you. Like, what is it that you would have me to do? And all you see is wall after wall, like that, what, Windows 95 screensaver. If you know, come on, you remember it was, come on, it just went everywhere. And then behind it, or you played like Doom, or was it Duke Nukem, or whatever that is. Anyway, it is what, hey, the laughs tell me that you know. So, walls are up. That's where Joshua is. So he goes where he should go. And Joshua 6, verse 1 through 5, he goes to the Lord, and it says this. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. So now word is spread through the promised land. Hey, these people have God on their side. And if God's on their side, they absolutely obliterated the Amalekites because of it. They go through, they walk through Jordan on dry land, and they're here. We don't know what's going to happen. So they're all living in fear. But it was so secure, verse 1, no one went out and no one came in. Parents, don't you wish you just had that in your house at time, this time of year? Don't lie, because we ain't cooling down the neighborhood. I know you're going to say that when you get home right now. Shut that door. We're not giving air conditioning to the neighborhood. You know, we're in an inflationary period. Where Jericho is, that's what happens. It says this in verse 2. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and fighting men. So Joshua's outside this walled city, and God says, hey, I've already given it to you. Now, if you're like me, I'm just going to be, where's the Hideki? Like, is it hiding somewhere? Like, what do you mean you've given it to me? Because all I see, Lord, is a locked door, bars down, and I see the king's archers up there. Like, am I looking for Gandalf? Am I looking, like, where are the elves at? Like, who's going to help me? Like, what in the world is going on? Like, what do you mean you've given it to me? We see Joshua walking in faith. Verse 3, march around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Verse 4, have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark, and on the 7th day march around the city 7 times with the priest blowing the trumpets. Now before we get to verse 5, so here we go. So like Joshua's there, God tells him, hey, you're going to have these people play, they're going to play music. They're going to be like, I'm going to make you laugh for a second. You know, I got to roll with that. Look it up later. Well, don't look it up later, because just take my word for it, I guess. Look up Wizard of Oz later, okay? So it's almost like the March of the Winkies, right? Like that's what he's telling them to do. The witch's guards, now you know when I say that. But look it up. It's the March of the Winkies. You'll know. Yeah, I need you here for Hope Tour. Don't go to jail. So wherever you are, Google the Wizard of Oz and you'll see that's what God's telling him to do, march around the city. So he's just like, I got to march around the city? I just got to march around the city with 7 trumpets, or with 7 priests playing trumpets carrying the ark? Verse 5, when you hear the sound of the long blast of the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the army will go up. Everyone will go straight in. So when the walls are falling down, when we're in this season, realistically, sometimes we're praying for the walls to fall down, other times we're asking God for it not. But we're looking at when the walls are up all around us, the first thing we have to realize is we see walls when God is the way through. We see walls when God is the way through. So wherever you are right now, like Joshua sees walls wherever he's at. He sees walls. And God is saying he's the way through, but it's going to start with their worship. They've got a worship going around this place. Like we're going to learn even more when it comes to the worship. Like only the priest can worship. Everybody else got to be quiet until the Lord says they don't. Now, if you've ever been on a road trip with a child, how does that work out? Backseat, quiet. Like, listen, I saw this. It's a dad joke, so I'm not going to give one next week because I'm not a father. But it was like, it's funny how when you get older, you have to even have silence in the car to back up. Like, I don't know. Like, if you remember when you were a teenager, like, you know, you're ready to go, yeah, back it up. And now it's just like, shh, shh, I got to see. You'll see that later with me with the trailer today. Like, that's where it is. Like, got to have complete silence, utter silence. So when we see walls, We see walls, but God is the way through. Look at verse 2 when he goes to Joshua, says, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands." I heard a pastor say it this way. I can't give great credit to it. I'm sorry. I can't remember who said it, but whoever you are, it was a Holy Spirit thing. And he said it this way. He said, when we look at what Joshua's perspective is, faith is trusting what happened in the past. Hope is faith looking forward. Faith is trusting what happened in the past. I have faith that God's promise is true, but I also have hope looking forward to know that it continues to remain true. So he tells Joshua, see, hey, Joshua, you like he told Elijah right up there, right, with all the armies of men there. He's saying, hey, you don't see what I see. Like, Joshua, see, have hope, have faith. I was faithful in the past. Walk in that faith with the hope, knowing that I've delivered this city for you into your hands. I wish I could tell you, as much as I love Joshua, that I would trust God at his word there. Because I would still just be saying, where's the locksmith at? Where are things going? Like, you're telling me this wall is going to fall down. And Jesus reminds me in the New Testament when he told the disciples, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, I'm going to tear this temple down in 3 days, rebuild it. Do you have that hope? Do you have that trust? Because see, you may see walls just like I do. See, Joshua made sure his perspective was on the right thing. See, in life we always have these walls that come up that stop us from being all that God created us to be. But that is when we lean in and trust that he has given us the deliverance. See, he goes back. Remember, he told Joshua last week when we picked up, he said, hey, know my word, meditate on it day and night. Do not turn from the right or the left, and you will be successful and prosper in everything that you do. So he's reminding Joshua to lean into his word. But the hope and the faith that we have is this. The world will continue to build walls up around us, won't it? The world will put up walls of who it says we need to be. The world will put up walls of obstacles that are in our place to tell us this is what we should do, this is how we should do it, and how dare we do it this way, or I've got to make my mark, I've got to be successful, my name's got to be on a brick out in front of the building, or it's got to be on the top of the building. That is what my whole goal is in life. The world will do that. But just like Jesus told those Sadducees, Pharisees, and the disciple, this will all crumble. That's what God's reminding Israelites about. He's reminding Joshua, the things of this world are going to fade. All the great buildings we celebrate, they still have to go through restoration. They still have to be fixed. Eventually, they'll crumble and fall. And see, as we worship God, as we worship Jesus, we get to celebrate that victory in hope, knowing the walls have already fallen. More on that here in just a moment. Verse 8 through 11. We're going to skip down just here in a little bit. Verse 8 through 11. When Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets. We got Louis Armstrong, Dizzy Gillespie. We got all the good ones. They're out there blowing their trumpets. And the ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priest who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time, the trumpets were sounding. If you didn't think they didn't have marching bands back in the day, that's a marching band, y'all. They got a marching band. They're there. They're in sync. They're ready to go. But Joshua had commanded to the army, do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout. So think about that. You couldn't say anything. So like if I'm sitting there and they got their worship on, they're getting ready, like I can't even hum, Lord. Like think about this. They got to do this for 7 days marching around the city like, you know, they just got to keep going. They can't say anything. They can't hum. They can't do anything. How many folks are signing up for the worship team at that? But who wants to be the seven priests making some noise at that moment in time? Everybody, right? You want to be there. But instead, Joshua's following the command of the Lord, like we said last week, as God told him, as he was calling him to be strong and courageous. Do not turn from the right or left of God's word. Joshua's trusting the Lord. What we just heard him say, that they can't shout until the seventh day, so the walls can fall. So he, that is Joshua, had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to the camp and spent the night there. Now, all the way through, like I'm looking at this, so imagine night one was probably really exciting, right? Day one was really exciting. The trumpets blew, like you know, you were lip singing the song. Like you were ready to go. Day two, Day three, that familiar phrase we talked about last week. Here we go again. I guess he's going to move. I don't know. Day four, we're going to see they're going to keep having to do this. Think about that perspective, because I get there too. And the difference from those who had that perspective versus those who really could worship on the seventh day. Verse 12 through 14, Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. The seven priests carrying the seven trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and their rear guard followed the ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to camp. They did this for 6 days. I know the four words I would have said to the Lord. Are we there yet? On day four, are we there yet? Lord, a day is but 1,000 years. Are we there yet? These walls are supposed to fall. Like, what we don't see is, do you think that Jericho, you couldn't see the armed guard of Jericho standing at the top of those walls? That there weren't men in Jericho that were standing there in this fortified city looking down, probably hurling insults at them the entire time, and you just got some great jazz music, and you're just humming. Can't say a word. You have to stay in line. Like, how many of us would be willing to do that? I can't sit still for 5 minutes, obviously. How in the world could you do that, walking in silence and still having worship for 7 days? See, that's the thing that we have to grapple with. Yet, Israel trusts what God tells them to do. So when the walls are falling down, the first thing many times before that happens is we see the walls and God is the way through. But what's true, we just read in Esther, is we see no progress, but God is still moving. We may see no progress, but God is still moving. See, even Windows has progress. God is still moving. God is still moving. We just read about this in Esther. So look at this. Like I said, I'm the are we there yet person. Like, I'm going to be on the trumpet and I'm going to sound terrible. Like, it's going to be the kazoo player. Like, you know, just like, well, that was my best trumpet. There we go. Like, I'm going to do it with my mouth. I don't know. Like, I want to make some noise. I want to do something. Like, at least let me carry the ark, Lord. Tyler, you can't do that. You got to be at the rear guard. Well, that's me carrying the rear. You know how it goes. So I got to be there, but the whole time I do it, I got to be silent. I don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. We don't see progress. We get mad. How many times of our prayers? Lord, Lord, I tithed. I gave like you told me to give. Where's my blessing? Lord, I served. Where's my blessing? Lord, I gave to that person that was on the side of the street that needed help. And all I saw him do was go buy cigarettes or go buy alcohol. Where's my blessing? Where are you at, Lord? Why am I going through this calamity? Why am I going through this health issue? Why am I going through this career issue, this car issue, this house issue? Why am I going through that? But the thing is, would we trust the Lord for those 7 days? Like, I can tell you, many of us, myself included, don't want to get through 24 hours of not seeing God bless us, much less trusting that his blessing will be fully seen in 7 days. All the way through, we may see no progress, but God is still moving. Why does that matter? Well, if you've ever read Experiencing God, one of the first foundations they talk to you about, which is, we've done this on Thursdays before, is that God is always moving. We just get to partner with him doing his work. See, the walls had already been torn down before Israel took their first step. God invited them to partner with him in the work he was doing, and so they got to be a part of the joy of seeing the walls fall down. We still get that today. That's what we do. All of this, like, yes, we work hard, absolutely, but it has nothing to do with us. It is the Lord's. If it happens, it's the Lord's. If it doesn't happen, it's the Lord's. It is not built upon us. It is built upon him. We get to partner in his work. Why am I sharing that? Hope Tour's coming up. There are hearts that Christ is working in right now. If they show up, we get to be a partner of his work. But how we partner on the front end is say, will you come sit with me? We do that on Sundays. Will you come sit with me? Will you come eat some baby squares, even though the baby is on the way? Will you come have some pre-diabetes with me on Sunday morning at breakfast? We would love, love, love for you to come hang out with us. That is what this is all about. God's already at work around us. But see, so many times, myself included, I would be walking around that wall in silence looking for a crack in it. I don't know. That would be like where I am. Like, is there a brick missing? There's something. Can I touch it? No, I can't. Crap. Like, that is what I would be doing. I would be looking for the way because I want to be able to do something. God's saying, will you just trust me? Where we are right now is, for all of us, I wonder if we would trust that God is moving. I wonder if we would trust that he has already worked it all out. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to walk in the hope of it. And even for me at times, that's hard. It's hard to trust, isn't it? Because I just see walls. I just see walls. What do you mean? Like, Lord, it's a locked gate. I don't have the key. Like, what do you mean? Like, I can't. What? I mean, what's going on? And he's just, do you trust me, son? Do you trust me? Today, maybe there's a relationship that's broken, and that's what he's saying. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me with this? Do you trust me? Do you trust that it's worked out? Hey, health, do you trust me? Hey, do you trust me that when you go, your debit card is going to work at the gas pump? Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me? I heard Stephen Furtick say it this way one time when he was talking about this. Don't stop on 6. If you know, you know. So we're not going to stop on 6. We're going to get to 15 through 20. It says this. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak. They marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except on that day they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, shout to the Lord of the... Oh, he didn't do that. No, if you know, you know. Come on, that was a welcome song back in the day. You know, Deacon Dunn came and gave the Sunday school report. Dunn welcomed everybody in. The tithe buckets went out. Shook hands. Here you go. Here's the tithe plate, brother. Here you go. That's it. That little tithe bag. You shook it a little bit. It had the handle on it. You know. Anyway, it looked like a top hat, a little wizard hat. You know. Don't lie. So they said, no, no, no. He got to that moment. He said, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Think about this. Before we go forward, this is what God reminds me of. The person in the moment on day 4 shouted to the top of their lungs on day 7. The person who didn't care on day 6 still got to be a part of the miracle on day 7, but I bet it didn't mean as much to them. What am I saying? There's an old saying, you hear it this way. Yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery, but today is a gift. It's why it's called the present. The question is, will we be present in the Lord in this moment if we're on day 4, knowing that we're going to shout on day 7? Where I get struggled with is I'm just like, it's day 1, and I'm talking to Jesus, when day 7 coming? Like, when's day 7? Day 4, I'm upset. I don't know what to do. It's a here we go again moment. Here we go again moment. I'm in a rut. I'm going through this again. It's the same thing over and over again. Lord, when are you going to move? But I tell you, the moments I'm present, he puts somebody in my path and says, see this person I put in your path? Watch me work through them and you get to be a part of it. And I'm present in the moment. I get to celebrate that 7th day. Because the thing is, they've been walking around that city for 6 days, and I only may have been walking around it 4, and it's going to fall down for them, and it's going to get me excited and get me fired up, and it's going to make my worship be greater for him in the moment. But the question is, will I trust on day 4 that day 7's coming? That's a challenge for us. This world right now is on day 1. We get to tell them we've already experienced day 7. Let me tell you about why. It's about Jesus. So they shout to the Lord, verse 17, the city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab, the prostitute, and all who are with her in her house shall be spared because she hid the spies we sent. Time out. What? Rahab, so the brothel leader? So Vegas, the lady who ran Vegas, Jesus' name, amen, is now saved? Like, Rahab is in the lineage of Jesus. So remember, Joshua, we shared this last week. He was part of the original 12 spies that went to the promised land. And 10 came back, riled up all of Israel. They wandered for 40 years. He sends out spies again to Jericho. And of everyone to take them in was Rahab the prostitute. She hid them. And they were to be spared. So in other words, even Rahab walked in hope, faith looking forward, that those walls were going to fall down on the 7th day. So if you ever think you are too far outside of God's grace, first and foremost, look at me. If he can save me, he can save anyone, but everyone from every background. The world would say, you're nothing but a prostitute. You're not worthy of anything. Why do you deserve salvation? And there's a cross and an empty tomb that says, all are welcome if you just trust him. Rahab is spared. So that is why she hid them. they are spared. Verse 18, but keep away from the devoted things so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to the destruction and bring trouble on it. Now, if you've ever been in Joshua later, there's this guy named Achan that does, and him and his entire family is killed. Why? Because our sin has consequences, and we don't like that. We shared it the other week. All of us would say that we've lied, but none of us would call ourselves liars. Maybe Pretty Little Liars. I don't know. Isn't that a show? Anyway, that was I tried to be culturally relevant. But we would not call ourselves... All of us would say there's sin in the world and that we have sin, but we don't want to call ourselves sinners in need of a Savior. Our sin has consequences, and thank the Lord that Jesus paid it for us. Amen? Now, we don't have to deal with that. It goes on to say this. Verse 19, all the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury. When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. It is finally here. They took the city. So imagine that. Like, you may think, oh, there's no way that this, but like, think about it. Like, the wall, imagine if you did that. Like, all of a sudden, boom, the walls fell. The walls just fall down and you walk in. And you say, well, that doesn't happen now. There's no way that happens. That doesn't work. Well, I just want to ask you, if you were saved, that happened for you because it happened for me. The walls finally fell down. Boom. The thing I've been searching for my whole life, the walls fell down. Jesus tore it down. I realized that actually the walls were all Satan's walls. He put up to make me believe that the thing I was searching for was behind a fortified wall. But Jesus tore that down so that I could be saved. So the third thing that happens is we see God's promise as we persevere. So we see walls. God is the way through. We may see no progress, but God is still moving. And we see God's promise as we persevere. More on that here in just a second. See, the crazy thing about Jericho, you know, so here's the little deep thing I'm going to give you, a little tidbit. So Jericho actually in Hebrew is two words. There's two. The first word for Jericho, if you were to read it in Hebrew, is Yariak. It's like Yarich. Yariak is how you say that. And it means moon. And it means moon. All right? Yeah, I know. Exactly. That's where I was. But it's in there. The second Hebrew word for Jericho, which will make more sense, is this word Ruach, R-U-A-C-H, Ruach. And what Ruach is really crazy word, because if you read Paul's writings, he says something similar to Ruach. Now, he'll write it in the Greek, but Ruach means a fragrant odor, a distinct smell. Now, Jericho is the first city that the Israelites come upon. It, the Lord said is his. It is to be devoted to the Lord. If we were to read in 2 Corinthians, what does Paul say that we are to the world? We are a pleasing aroma. If you go in 2 Corinthians 2, if I remember right, somewhere in there, we are a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Why? Because we are a fragrant offering. We are a sacrifice because we smell like Jesus. I know that sounds crazy, but hear me out. Jericho is pointing to Jesus, the fragrant offering, the one who went before us, who tore down the walls of hostility that sin had set up for us, who went before us. We are the fragrant. That is what the world sees Jericho when they see us. They see, oh my goodness, that the thing I've been searching for is found and that this person has it. And so for each and every one of us, how does that work out? Well, it's usually when we persevere. Because I will tell you in my life, yes, day four is important if I'm present. But when that seventh day comes, there's always somebody Jesus has in my life that I can share about, hey, let me tell you how Jesus came through. And I can only give him the credit. I can only give him the credit. Let me tell you how he worked it out for his glory and for my good. So we hear this word perseverance. We were in Romans 5. We'll end there in a second. We started it Thursday, and it talks about how our perseverance builds our character, and our character builds our hope, our faith looking forward, our perseverance. Perseverance. Jesus said, in this world we will have trouble, but take heart. He has overcome the world. We will have that, right? Like, we will have perseverance. So like I said, how many of us on day four trust that day seven is going to happen? So here's the history lesson today when it comes to persevere. How many have ever heard of the Pilgrim's Progress? A few folks, I got you. Second best-selling book in the English language, only behind the Bible. the third best-selling book's available in the lobby. I just wrote it. For your gift today, we'll slash one monthly payment off of your 30-year commitment of $59.99 a month. Just to let you know, we'll slash, no? Okay, wherever you are with that, you know how I feel about that, y'all. I'm going to be real. May write a book one day, but that is what it is. Open that room later. So it's the second best-selling book in the English language. So do you know about the guy who wrote it? His name's John Bunyan. No, he didn't have a foot problem when you think about Bunyans, but his name is John Bunyan. Now, he wrote this, it's an allegory, and it talks about life being a journey, but here's the history lesson when it comes to this, when it comes to perseverance. He actually started writing that book in jail. So long story short, if you've ever taken British history or you've ever taken world history, British lit, get ready, I'm going to give it to you. So he had this friend named John Owen. John Owen is a 17th century philosopher, Christian scholar. He was over Oxford. The name doesn't sound anything familiar to you. He was a lieutenant to this guy named Oliver Cromwell. Oliver Cromwell is important because if you look at the Reformation period in England, it was the English Civil War. He led the deposition of Charles I. There you go. You just had the Queen's Jubilee. Here's your history lesson. If you talk to anyone across the pond about Oliver Cromwell, he's important. Why? Because he started Parliament. He led the parliamentarians. He was the first commoner that was a head of state in Britain. He actually wrote a constitution. It is where we have constitution. It comes in the 1600s. But see, the problem was he was a Puritan. He was a Puritan. Oliver Cromwell was. John Owen was a Puritan. And so in the time, there's something that happened in the mid-1600s. We have this thing we celebrate in November, this big feast that happened mid to late 1600s. People came over here for a reason. They were persecuted because they were Puritans, right? The Puritans, John Owen is one, so is John Bunyan. That is why John Bunyan gets put in jail, is during the time Oliver Cromwell leads the people. You may say, who is Oliver Cromwell? Why do I care? Keep your powder dry? Cromwell said it. Warts and all? Cromwell said it. Red coats, the first British army that was a red coat is Cromwell. You can read that. It's really crazy. Go read that. So he's a high in command. He gets the ear of Charles II. So does this guy named John Owen. So while John Bunyan's in prison, John Owen moves, petitions the king, petitions Cromwell unsuccessfully. Even Bunyan's wife does that. And the king goes, as John Owen goes before King Charles II, goes and says to John Owen, why would you risk your reputation on such a lowly man? See, John Bunyan was a pastor, but he was, if you look him up, he was what's called a tinkerer. He was a handyman. He fixed household utensils. That's what he did. He was a tinkerer, a lowly individual. John Owen says about John Bunyan, if I could only win the hearts of man the way he does and how he talks to the Lord, talks about the Lord. See, Bunyan would tell you the only reason he was in jail was to write the Pilgrim's Progress. He would have never written the Pilgrim's Progress had he not been in jail persevering. When we see perseverance, Paul writes his letters from jail. We look, Revelation, John is in exile in Patmos. He is in jail, basically. So many of the times in our lives where we need to persevere, we will see God's promise fully. We are right on the precipice of it. Why am I sharing all that? Why does that sound crazy? Because for most of us, that's the last thing we want is to go to prison, right? I wouldn't want to go to prison. I don't know. Don't Google March of the Winkies or you will. You might end up in jail. Look at Wizard of Oz, like I said. Wherever you are with that. We don't want to go to jail. But sometimes the thing that seems like the biggest jail for us is the thing that God works through the most. Because in jail, we have no control of ourselves, do we? We are at the behest of someone else. That's where Israel is. They have no control over this wall. They have no one to save them but God. There is no other way. Like, they've got trumpets and an ark and a fortified city. Like, what will they do? And so they worship. They worship the one worthy of their worship. See, trials were never supposed to be easy, but why Jesus came and why he said this is so for each and every one of us to know nothing in this world throws at us can stop. I mean, he defeated death itself. No matter where you are, that's the thing we are all the most afraid of. Christ defeated death itself. So where Israel is, there was nothing else that could save them but God. So wherever we are right now, What the world will do for us is it will make us march around the walls of the kingdom of God. If you're in Christ, you remember this. You marched around the, you thought inside of that wall, if you could find a way to break through it, you would find the lotto ticket. You would find the ticket to happiness. You would find the ticket to wealth. You would find the ticket to health. You would find the perfect thing. And in order to get in there, you thought, I gotta have the right car. It'll batter ram through. I gotta have the right degree. Because that's going to unlock it, like Mission Impossible. Like, it'll read the degree. It'll say, college degree, $50,000 in debt. Congratulations. And it'll let me in. I got to have the house. I got to have the career. I've got to have the status. That's what's going to get me in this wall for this thing that I'm looking for. And the thing is, you can't. See, it's not that you could break the wall down. It's that someone's gone before you and broken the wall down to give you the ultimate joy, the ultimate pleasure that you seek, the ultimate connection that you seek, and that is Christ Jesus. When you come to that moment to realize the thing that's inside that wall is what you're looking for, but the crazy thing is, all you had to do is take a step in and a step of faith to trust that what he has already finished on the cross means that you can't earn it, you can't work your way to it, there's nothing you can do but receive it, and you walk in hope knowing that what he says will come to pass. That is what we have. He has torn that down for us. Sin in our life will make us think we've got it. It'll put up the wall of hostility. It actually made us be at a separation with God. But Christ came, lived the perfect sinless life we couldn't live, making us righteous, died the death we deserve, paying the penalty for our sins on the cross. He didn't stay dead. He rose again on the third day so that we don't have to wait to worship God fully. We don't have to wait to know the seventh day is coming. We can celebrate now like we are at the wedding banquet of the Lamb. Now, we can celebrate that. So wherever you are right now, I just want to ask, have you done that? Paul reminds us in Romans 5, verse 6 through 8, you see, at just the right time, when we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Israel was powerless. There was nothing Israel could do to tear down the wall of Jericho. Nothing. Only God could do it. That's where we were in our sin. Verse 7, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He tore down the walls for us in spite of us. He got what we deserved so that we could get what he deserved, which is to be in right relationship with God. And so wherever you are right now, the reason we do what we do every week is so that folks can see the walls have been torn down, that Christ has torn it down, so that folks can see the thing that they're searching for, they've been looking for their whole life, is right in front of them, and it is Christ. And Jesus didn't make us to wander aimlessly around walls he's already torn down. He asked us to step into relationship with him, and that only happens through full surrender and faith. And so that's what we're going to be praying. That's what we're going to talk about. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. When the walls fall down, you freak out. You think everything is broken down, that there is no hope. But Jesus says, I'm tore down the walls to give you hope. So wherever you are right now, we're going to say this prayer out loud as a family for the benefit of those who are coming to the faith for the first time. Please repeat these words after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserved, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life, the best way I know how. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're in the house or you're watching online, I'm going to ask you, if you have boldly taken that step of faith today, you have stepped into those walls being torn down, you have stepped into faith, you have stepped into that relationship with God by trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. If you're in the house, would you do that? If you're watching online, you may see a hand that's raised. You may not, but you can leave us a comment. you can let us know. And this is the reason we want to do that. It's not so that we can just sit there and count you as a number. It's so that we can celebrate with you because you've taken a huge next step today. We want to help you with your next step, and that's to get you into a local church body so that you can grow and thrive in your worship, knowing that Jesus has people that are with you that are on day 7 where the walls have fallen down and are on day 2 where they're praying for the walls to fall down. And for the rest of us, it's a perfect opportunity for us to talk about and praise and worship it being well with our soul. Right now, there's a weary world searching for Christ. How we are set apart and how we are different is instead of earning our way, instead of trying to get our name in shining lights, we point to the one who has gone before us and shined his light. So as we worship, would we really truly believe that it is well? Will you stand with us?
Through it all, through it all. it is well with me.
We'll box them out. If you know, you know. You know, that's what we got. I'm so thankful you are here with us. I promise you, when it comes to the drawing, we won't box you out when it comes to Hope Tour. But I hope and pray and believe and know that as we go out throughout this week, we get to share the seventh day. Why did the seventh day matter? What is the day that God rests? The seventh day. Why? So we can rest in Him. So as we go out this week, may we just show His presence to everyone in the craziness and the chaos. Literally, people are freaking out. I freak out many times, but like people are freaking out. And what we can say is, hey, I have something that's outside of this world that transcends this world, and it is Jesus. And I can't give you the answer to all your questions, but He is the answer to all of your questions. So if we could do that this week, how much greater could we see His church grow, His glory grow, and His light grow in the world? Church, it's our time to do that. I hope you have an awesome week. We can't wait to see you at Hope Tour Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Always remember, the best is still yet to come.